Cursed Dan Clayton.
Hockey fans, and welcome to the Pens Nation Radio Show. I'm Ken Will, joined by Andy Hughes, Nick Richter, and our guest call-in number is 347-202-0344, and you can also get on us at Twitter, at the Pens Nation. Big day in Penguins news as the Penguins find out rather abruptly right after practice today that the captain is returning to the lineup on Thursday night, and that is Sidney Crosby. And what was more interesting for a lot of Pens fans, or at least for me, was the very different ways that we've had to react to this as Pens fans, because we've been preparing for it for so long, and some people are really happy about it. Some people, honestly, I'm pretty sure, think that the Penguins are worse off with Sidney Crosby. Not really sure, but judging the reaction on Twitter, that's kind of the feeling I got. People upset with the people who are playing on his line, people who are upset with him, where he's going to be put on the power play and how it's going to completely wreck what's going on, and why broke what's fixed, or why fix what's broken, or why fix what's not broken. I'm going to get it right eventually. after winning 9 straight, so... I'm sure once the Penguins lose tomorrow night 7-1, Sidney Crosby will find himself
back. You know what? It's almost as if it's one of those things where a lot of fans don't realize how much thought Dan Bylsma puts into this. You know, like it's almost like they're thinking that this is a last-minute kind of thought process for him. It's like, oh, we got Sidney Crosby in. How do we fit him in now? Like, no, I guarantee you Dan has been thinking of this for months now and trying to figure out how he wants to bring him in, how many minutes he wants to have him play for, who his line mates are, and every single situation, because that's the kind of guy he is. He over-prepares, if anything. But it does create something fun for Pens fans to kind of think about. But it's almost as if they don't have a lot of trust in him that he's just doing this at the seat of his pants, but he's not.
Yeah, and he even alluded to that today during the postgame when he was talking about how this is – I mean, he's been thinking about this for months, even though they just started talking about having Sid work the point and all those kind of things on Monday. We were just talking about it on the show last night about whether or not that would be a solution or something like that. Right, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is kind of an experiment. I don't think it's going to last too long, you know, playing with Cook and Kennedy. You kind of have to figure that it's kind of a little bit of an experiment. You could see him back with Kunitz and Dupuy, but it's, I have nothing against it. I mean, definitely confident Matt Cook and Tyler Kennedy to start this thing off, and Bylsma doesn't want to touch those top two lines, and you can't blame him for that. And I have all the confidence in the world with Dan Bylsma, and I'm sure you'll see him shift those lines a little bit just to kind of experiment, because this team is loaded with talent, and you know, they're all used to each other. They've been together for a while. Well, Crosby hasn't played very much with them. You know, he has so much talent that he makes his line mates better. So it's going to be interesting to see. It wasn't something that I definitely saw coming. I didn't see him playing with Kennedy and Cook at first, but like I said, it's at first, and it's something that it's kind of an experiment. And I would expect Bylsma to switch up these lines at some point, especially as we get closer to the postseason.
Yeah, and go ahead, Ken.
I'll just say, I mean, it's kind of a transparent move, and even, you know, Bylsma's explained the fact that this isn't about who his line mates are. This is about the ice time that he gets. In that first game, you don't want him to log the minutes of a first and second liner. They're trying to temper this return a lot more than they did return at the end of November last year, where Sid kind of got thrown right back into the mix real quickly. I think he needs to kind of taper things a little bit more this time around, and that's what Dan Bylsma and the Penguins are trying to do.
Yeah, and it's something that they've kind of toyed around with the past couple practices. I know Saturday in South Point at the practice, they had they had him skating on a line with Sullivan and Matt Cook and at times Tyler Kennedy, but they also had him on the point too. So it's looking like they're trying to figure out what their options are looking like. And will this last more than a game or two? Probably not. Will this last more than four shifts? That's the real question. But I do think
Michelle Terringham were coach.
That's a whole different story because that's a guy that I don't think did prepare like those line changes. I think Andy and I were talking about this a little earlier with some other people, but it's almost as if Dan Bylsma goes into a game with a basketball coach mentality.
Yeah.
Okay, 15 minutes in, we're going to shift up or bring in this guy off the bench or whatever, you know. But like he knows exactly when he's going to shift those lines around and he does it. But Terrien, on the other hand, not so much. It seemed like he just did it to try to get a spark or try to get anything going, and it wasn't really methodical. I think with Disco, it is methodical.
Mm-hmm. I certainly can't mess with a Jack Adams coach, so I have a ton of confidence, and like you said, it may not even last for four shifts, but it's something to experiment. I mean, you have so much talent on the team, and you got the best player in the world coming back. I think that's really what it comes down to here.
So what we're trying to say, Penn fans, is shut up, quit sucking on the crazy pills, and enjoy it, man. We were waiting for this moment for a long time, and you know who knows how long it could last. We could have, I mean, God forbid, but you know the last return was 8 games for Sidney Crosby, and then it was this long until we saw him again. I mean, if anything, this should teach us that we need to not take these moments for granted. And if we didn't learn that lesson with Mario Lemieux, then I don't know if we ever are going to learn that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we're looking at it. A lot of people are looking at it all the wrong way. It's like, oh, we have a 9-game streak. We're gonna mess this up. No, you have the best player in the world ready to come in. You let him come in. It doesn't matter if you have a 9-game streak. Eventually, you're going to lose a game. And it's just the cards that are dealt. You're not going 82-0. You're not planning the parade. Now, like, you have to wait a little while and you got to get people back in. But this is a great problem to have, and I think a lot of people are looking at this the entirely wrong way.
Yeah.
The other news out of practice today was that Chris Letang is progressing quite a bit, and he's completely cleared for contact and all game time situations and things. And he's very, very close to coming back to the lineup. Thursday is a possibility. They're not saying it's, you know, it's really a likelihood or anything like that. But here is what Chris Letang and the Penguins had to say after practice today.
How are you feeling, Chris?
I feel pretty good. To get back on the ice with my teammates. I'm part of the whole progression. And we'll go from there.
Are you still feeling any symptoms?
No. We made it clear I'm not going to skate or do anything with symptoms.
Were you diagnosed with a concussion? Was that ever officially?
Pardon me?
Were you ever officially diagnosed with a concussion?
No, it's just like few symptoms appear to be coming back, probably from the old one, I don't know. But didn't feel right, so we put me aside.
You got a shot Thursday?
I don't know yet.
Looks like you're pretty much fully cleared. Looks like you're doing all the drills, even some of the contact drills, is that right?
Yeah, but I was doing all of them. Obviously, trying to get game ready and trying to get back in shape.
Have you had a chance to look back at that hit yet and see it on a replay? Is it a
I thought
good hit? How
do you look at it? I mean, he obviously got me on the chin, but I don't think that was his intention. I think he wanted to get his team going with a good check, but he clipped my chin. So, that's the only thing I saw from the.
I know that you don't know the word yet on Thursday, but do you think you're ready to go Thursday?
If I think it's my first practice with the team, so we'll look back at this one and practice tomorrow and we'll see.
Chris, what makes this one different? Why you might have a quicker return?
Less symptoms. I think that's it.
Is light or anything like that? I mean,
pardon me?
Was it light and everything like that a major problem before? It's not now?
The first one was pretty bad. I couldn't do much except sleeping and maybe reading, but this one, it was fine. There was a few things that I didn't like, and that's why I stopped playing.
Is it hard as a player to be honest these days now about these things because you want to be out there so bad?
It's tough to be. Well, I mean, it's your own problem if you start lying. You just put yourself at risk and your team at risk. So at the end of the day, I think the most important is if you have symptoms, you make sure you let your trainers know, and they're going to do what's best for you.
Chris, when you come back, it looks like you're going to on the power play, it looks like Sid may be out there at times with you. What would that be? What are some of the things that would be like with him at the point as opposed to some of the other guys maybe?
It's a new look, obviously, but Sid is a great player. I think you're gonna do a great job on top, and obviously it's going to be a total new look for a power play this year. It's going to be the first time we're all together, but from there, I don't know. It was just a practice.
Do your responsibilities change in that? I mean, he's good at distributing the puck too. Is your responsibility, did they change with him also on the point?
No, they don't. I mean, power play, it's just a 5-on-4 that you try to use your skill and try to create some stuff. So obviously having him on the point will make our team way more dangerous.
So Chris Letang is looking ahead a little bit, but also at the same time we're talking about this is his first practice back, and he even told reporters there.
It wasn't his first practice back. He's had a couple now.
It was his first practice back since being cleared fully anyway. And it almost sounded like he was not that Letang was, but the reporters were kind of a adversarial in some of the questions that they were asking at Letang there. He said But think about this team getting those two players back here and what it's going to do for the offense and the power play. And I mean, I don't know how much better can it get? That's really what it comes down to.
That is one scary looking power play right now. That first line on it, that's unbelievable to have that much talent loaded on a power play and a puck movement. The past couple of days that they've practiced with that unit has looked phenomenal, and it's something that in past years, like, there's been a lot of movement, but there's been an unwillingness to shoot it. I've seen no unwillingness to shoot that puck so far in the practices that I've seen with Crosby on the point and with Letang on the point. And Andy and I were just kind of, our jaws were dropped earlier today when we were just watching some of the passes that these guys were making against their teammates who are good penalty kill, like, players. And if they get the chances in the postseason, that's the big if, because you never know what's going to be called or if they're going to let the teams play. They could just do some big time damage, I think.
Yeah, certainly. And Tyler Kennedy is a guy who hasn't had the same kind of spark this season is what we've seen from him as far as some goal scoring prowess and any of that. When he struggled through injuries and things like that, sure, but if during his short time with Sidney Crosby, he can kind of capture some of that and get himself going again, you know, going into the playoffs is a great time to get hot if you are Tyler Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, no better time than the present for TK right now. So I do believe we have Josh Yoey on the line now, guys. So I'll go ahead and bring him on.
Yes, he is the man with the fastest thumbs we learned today in the National Hockey League. He broke the news that Crosby was going to be returning, and he is with us now. Josh Yoey, beat writer from the Trib. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, my thumbs aren't really that fast. It's just I had a feeling the news was breaking, so I had the text pre-written. I felt guilty because I was talking with Crosby a couple of days earlier, and we were kind of talking about etiquette, like, you know, in the media and, you know, during interviews and stuff. And he really hates it when people tweet at the same time while they're interviewing him. He thinks it's kind of rude. And I actually agree with him. So I was very subtle about it. I knew right where the send button was. So I already had it written. I just hit send the second he said it, just so I made sure he didn't see me do it. Because, you know, I didn't want to jerk to the captain. But, you know, I had to spread the news as quickly as possible so everyone in Canada could get excited.
Actually, absolutely. I thought it was funny that that really today seemed to catch all of the Canadian media off guard because nobody was there. Nobody was ready to tweet the information. It's just like, it was your tweet, and then literally like minutes later, holy crap.
Because everyone's in Florida.
Yeah. I was a little surprised. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it seemed, we kind of knew he was going to play Thursday. I don't think it was
a secret
among those who cover the team. It made a lot of sense. So we didn't know if he would tell us today or tomorrow, but I'm glad he did it today. I hate it when, you know, there's something obvious going on to make you wait till the last second.
Well, we saw your your Josh Yowie NHL 36 trade deadline behind the scenes there too. So the secret is two phones. You want in each pocket?
You know, it's funny because I have a tape recorder, but I often use my iPhone because the recorder's really good on there. It's just easier.
Yeah.
So I actually was recording Crosby with the iPhone. And I sent that tweet from the droid. So, yeah, it's all about the two phones.
Droid.
There you go.
Droid.
So, lots of fans are really curious about this move of Crosby coming in. We've talked about it a little bit and playing on Tyler Kennedy and Matt Cook's line. Is there anything more to be read into this other than just the fact that he's trying to ease him in on minutes?
I think that's part of it, definitely. I don't think it's going to last. I'd be surprised if come playoff time, Sidney Crosby's on a line with Tyler Kennedy and Matt Cook. Honestly, I think playing with Kennedy will absolutely drive him nuts. Right? Kennedy, all he does is shoot the puck. He's the least creative player I've ever seen in my life. I just don't think Crosby's going to enjoy playing with him. But, no, I think part of it was done to keep Evgeny Malkin and Jordan Staal happy. I don't think they want to have Crosby walk right in and have whatever line mates he wants or anything like that. So I think in a way it's Dan Bylsma saying to Malkin and Staal, you know, hey, you guys are doing a good job. I'm going to leave you with your lines for now. But honestly, I'd be really surprised if come playoff time it's not the old three-center model. And I think you're going to see Staal back with Kennedy and Cook. And there's a perception from a lot of people that Staal's not happy about that and he wants to be a top two-line guy. And I understand that. But, you know, he's still the best third-line center in hockey, and the way the Penguins are built right now, if you put Staal on one of the top two lines, that's fine, but do you really want Joe Vitale playing 16 minutes a game as your third-line center? And nothing against Joe Vitale, but I don't think he's ready for that in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you talk about the line that Sid's on. What about the power play? What are your thoughts on him playing at the point? He said earlier today that he hasn't done that since juniors, so he does have a little bit of experience there, but how do you think he fits in there on the point on the power play?
I don't really like him on the point at all, to be honest with you. They said all the right things, how he has great vision and he can see the ice from up there and make passes. That's fine, but just watching in practice today, their power play looked like crap for what it's worth. And I mean, I realize it was a new alignment, so it might take a little while to get rolling. But I'm a little concerned about that, to be honest. I don't know. I don't like taking Steve Sullivan off the top power play. And it looks like that's what they're going to do. And, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with players and coaches just asking why the power play has been so much better this year other than the obvious with Malkin being back. And every single time they point to Steve Sullivan and they say just all the little stuff he does and the way he can control the tempo of the power play and his ability to skate the puck up the ice, really invaluable stuff. And I don't know if I would have taken him off there. It's going to be interesting. And, you know, it's no secret. Even Mario Lemieux admitted it last week. Asked about the power play. He said, Crosby and Malkin both like to play the same spot. That's the problem. It's like everybody knows it, but when you hear him say it, it really hits you in the face, you know. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't. But from what I can tell, Crosby and Malkin are really going to be interchangeable and just all over the ice. Sounds good in theory. We'll see how it works.
Josh, have you seen the Steve McIntyre fight?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. My editors, they usually like articles from practice to be done around 5 o'clock. And I didn't get done until 6 because I was so distracted watching it over and over again. It wasn't even what McIntyre did. It was the announcer.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
He's like saying McIntyre needs to be handcuffed. And I mean, it was unbelievable.
He's going bananas.
He's lost his marbles.
Yeah, lost his marbles. It was straight out of Slapshot. I mean, that's what it reminded me of. Like, oh, my God, like, Dickie Dunn should be writing about this. Like, total Slapshot thing. I mean, it was funny. I mean, McIntyre is what he is. he actually kind of takes pride in being a goon.
Yeah.
I remember the first road trip of the season out west, I had a long chat with him in Calgary, and I asked him about, you know, I said, no offense, Steve, some might say you're a goon. And he said, you know, I take great pride in that. And he called himself one of the last of the gunslingers, whatever that means. I mean, he just wants to be a goon, and, you know, there's not really, if you look around the league, how many true goons are really left in the NHL?
Yeah, it's
not many. I know Ronaldo in Philly, he looks like he wants to be kind of a goon. I mean, there's a couple, but there's just not that many left. So I think the minor leagues is probably the best place for him. But if he keeps entertaining us like that, there's always a place for him in my book. He's a great guy, by the way. He's like the nicest guy ever.
That's what we keep hearing.
Yeah. That's what Colin McDonald said in the preseason when we had him on.
And if you go on his Twitter page, his avatar is him and like six other dudes holding M16s.
And ski mask.
It's weird. Usually with goons, they are nice guys. And, I mean, it's Drew McIntyre. I know everybody in Pittsburgh hates Scott Hartnell, but actually to deal with him, he's like a really nice guy. Like, you wouldn't think he would be, but he actually is. Oftentimes, guys like that are.
Josh Yoey loved the Flyers.
That's what he's saying. Boo Yoey.
No. Yoey's
up there with
Depo
now.
I have no regard for that organization at all, to be honest with you guys. Everyone can talk about the game Thursday in New York. I'm still ready for Sunday afternoon in that rotten city. That's the one organization I really can't stand. There's just nothing good about them. I like them better that they got rid of Mike Richards, who's probably the biggest creep to deal with you'll ever meet in your life. Not a nice guy at all, honestly. I don't know anybody who's ever met him that likes him. Yeah, I'm just telling him how it is, guys.
I love it.
That locker room is a lot.
Their locker room's better. You could tell them 24/7. They actually have some likable guys. But and they're getting hot all of a sudden, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Briz is allowed a goal in like five games or something now. Another shutout tonight.
He's got that tiger blood.
They were wise to get rid of Carter and Richards. Those were, you know, not well-liked guys in the locker room. And if you've ever dealt with them, you know why. But they're really, they're not like your father's Flyers, though. Everyone always used to say, oh, we got to dress McIntyre against the Flyers. Like, really? Who's he going to fight? Danny Briere? Claude Giroux?
Yager?
I mean, but, you know, I mean, they're actually a very talented team. They're not really.
Yeah.
They play Ronaldo, Hartnell, and they don't have too many guys that really irritate you.
Laviolette really seemed to change the culture of that whole entire locker room. And
he's not like that, you know.
It makes him more palatable, if anything.
Yeah, and he's won a Stanley Cup a lot more recently than the Flyers have, so maybe he actually knows what he's doing. But and you know what, guys, it sure looks like even though everybody's talking about the Penguins maybe catching the Rangers, I'm not saying they can't, but that's still going to be really hard to do. So I still think we might be looking at a Penguins-Flyers Armageddon series in the first round. Good God. Things could change, of course, but it sure has that feel, doesn't it?
It's going to be a little bit of a knockdown dragout,
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? First-round series are always tough. I don't care who you're playing. You don't see too many sweeps in the first round. Teams have a lot of energy. They're usually going to take you six games no matter who you play. But, that'd be a pretty crazy series. It'd be a lot of up-and-down hockey. I think it'd be entertaining.
And it'd be welcome for Pens fans, too, because it's really been 2 years since not that the Tampa Bay series was not entertaining or not physical by any stretch of the imagination, but it was frustrating for Pens fans because it wasn't the product that we expected going into that season. And so seeing that real playoff hockey where you just have I hate using this word, but it's all that's coming to my head right now, that swagger going into it that you expect from a winning team is going to be something that's welcome in Pittsburgh after a two-year absence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year doesn't even count really, does it? I mean, everyone was disappointed when they lost to Tampa, but, I mean, come on. You knew even if they won that series, how far was that team really going to go without Crosby and Malkin? This wasn't realistic. If you don't mind me for name-dropping for a second, I still remember after Game 7 against Tampa, I was having an adult beverage with Phil Bork after the game, and the old 2-9er looks at me, and he says, you know what, Josh, better this way. I'd rather lose this way than lose to Washington in the next round. And I said, yeah, you make a point there. Of course, it's Washington, so who knows if they actually would have, you know, had the fortitude to win that series anyway. But You know, he makes a point. And yeah, I mean, listen, this team, I mean, just from I talk with a lot of other beat writers around the league and stuff like that. I assure you that if Crosby stays healthy, the feeling around the league is the Penguins are probably the team to beat, and you can certainly see why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 21-4-1 in their last 26 without Crosby and, you know, without Letang for a chunk of those. That's, you know,
that's
a pretty frightening number. And look around the East. I mean, Boston stinks all of a sudden. They got killed in Tampa tonight, for God's sake. The Rangers are very good, but they still don't score much. They look vulnerable to me. The final Briz is playing well, but the Flyers still have holes. Jersey's probably the one team that scares you. But I think the Penguins are the best team in the East when they're healthy. It's kind of hard to deny that, I think.
I think so, too. And speaking of health and the possibility of a guy like Chris Letang coming back, you've seen him in practice the past couple of weeks, or especially that past couple of days with him coming clear for contact. How far along do you think he is in that process, or do you think it's going to be a few weeks before we see him enter back into the lineup?
Panger's really close. I wouldn't be shocked if he plays in New York. I don't think he will, but, I mean, he didn't rule it out, and he took a lot of contact in practice today. He looked good. I honestly think he'll play sometime at some point on this trip. If he doesn't play in New York, I think it's possible he plays in Jersey or Philly. But I think the latest we'll see him is that next Tuesday when Winnipeg is here. He's close. And you know, I talked with people on that road trip, and I was in Denver after the hit in Dallas, and there was a feeling among people in the organization that, you know, he was just being really safe because he had a little bit of a headache and they were just going to be careful. And there was never really a feeling that he was going to be out into the playoffs or anything like that. So, and, you know, the Crosby concussion situation is kind of, I think, plagued the way we look at concussions. Whenever somebody gets one, you just assume they're out forever, like he was. But, you know, most people are back in a few weeks. So, you know, I think the Penguins got lucky with Letang. I don't think it was anything serious. He might play in New York. I wouldn't be shocked. And you're going to see him within the next week for certain.
So then that just leaves the one unhealthy player on the Penguins roster, it looks like right now. What is going on with Brent Johnson? Where did he go?
Well, let's see. In the last few weeks, the Penguins have told us that he was sick and that he was injured, and then he was sick again. At that point, I stopped paying attention because it's obviously lying. I'm not saying he wasn't sick or hurt. It's possible. And he's still at the facility every day. That's what's really weird. He was at practice today. He just wasn't participating. Mm-hmm. Look, maybe there is something wrong. But I think it's pretty evident by now that Brad Thiessen's a better goalie than Brent Johnson as we speak. Hate to say that because Johnny is one of the greatest guys ever, and you know, you can make an argument that he saved the season last year with what he did in October and November. He was awesome. And and you also can't discount the relationship he has with Marc-Andre Fleury. Now, goalies are weird, and you get a lot of goalies on teams that don't get along or feel threatened or whatever, and it causes a lot of problems. But those two are super close, great relationship. So, you know, it'd be nice to see him stick around. I don't know what the plan is, but it gets a little more curious every day, and I think Brad Deason's going to be the backup in the playoffs. I really do.
I heard that that Brent Johnson got food poisoning from one of the new Doritos Locos Taco Bell meals.
Everybody is talking about those. I have to have one. Right. Apparently, they must be incredible.
They're phenomenal. Kennedy's one right now.
I don't know. That's funny.
It's just good marketing. You're combining Taco Bell and Doritos, and then
yeah,
I mean, like sense. like Depto said the other night, it's like a high school cafeteria. Like they've been doing this for years, but all of a sudden Taco Bell caught onto it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both proven commodities. It makes sense. You're like the fifth person today to mention that to me. I think
that's
really
why Steve
McIntyre
caught the goalie.
I'm going to be up till 3 in the morning tonight watching that on YouTube again. I can't get enough of it. It's just unreal. And I wish the video sucks. The video sucks because you can't see what happens at first.
Yeah, initially, yeah.
Provoked. I don't know if there's any other video. I doubt there is. I would love to know what provoked them. Oh, yeah. I mean, just the cheap shot of the goalie and the goalie turtling and the broadcasters. You know, he's gone bananas and he needs handcuffs. In fact, I told Phil Sagerwald today, I said, Staggy, that was almost as good as you telling Trevor Gillies to go back to his cage. Staggy gets Saggy's like, yeah, whatever. He doesn't like talking about it because, like, I think didn't Saggy go on Islanders TV and apologize, or he was going to, for all the things he said about the organization?
I don't know. I don't think he should have.
I don't know. There was talk that he was going to. We were going to give him security into the island that night.
There was
talk that there was death threats out for Saggy, but yeah, I made that up. But so yeah, that was. And what a shame it is that McIntyre wasn't a Penguin that night on the island. Maybe things wouldn't have gone so out of hand.
My goodness.
Oh my. Eric Goddard went over the wall. Who knows what McIntyre would have done?
McIntyre would have slapped somebody with their own shoe.
Yeah, I know. One of the worst things that happened to the Penguins, if you remember in that brawl, Derek Engelin was tossed very early, really for no reason. They gave him like a third man in penalty, but he didn't even do anything. I think Talbot got jumped and he went after Martin and they threw him out for that. And that always bothered Engelin. We've talked about that a lot just because, you know, he kind of felt like if he would have been around, maybe some of the stuff that went on wouldn't have. But what a night that was.
Should be a great night Thursday night. You got a big game, and I also saw you tweeted that Rob Rossi is going to be making the trip. How pumped are you about that?
Oh my God! Usually we fly to New York, but flights from Philly are like outrageous right now. So I told the bosses like a month ago I would drive. I said I'd never go. I'd rather have my car in Newark and Philly. They're all close together. So now I got to drive 6 hours with Rossi to New York tomorrow.
I hope he doesn't kiss you.
What's that?
I hope he doesn't kiss you.
Oh, well, you know what, though? I mean, that was a Christmas party when alcohol was involved. But who knows what could happen, because I was just going to stay outside of the city because I don't like to spend too much of the company's money. But Rossi said, no, you will cancel your reservations. We're staying in Manhattan. So, you know, like say like some $300 hotel and we're going out tomorrow night in Manhattan. So maybe he'll try to kiss me. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have no doubt it will be a fine road trip, and I will be tweeting the hell out of whatever happens, I promise you.
You'll tweet your nuts off.
Yes, I will. Hopefully my nuts don't have anything to do with the evening, but, you know.
One last thing. I know that you've been tweeting about this along the boards with Aaron Ashram show. That's been happening.
Oh, my God.
I haven't been able to go because I've been busy, but I really want to go. Just talk about that for a little bit if you can.
In all seriousness, you have to come down. It's next Monday night. It kind of varies what day it is, depending on the team's schedule. But next Monday night, 7 o'clock, it's at the Rivers Casino in the Wheelhouse Restaurant. You have to come. I went last night. I ended up having dinner with Mark Madden, who's been going every week. Now he's in love with it as well. And right in the middle of the show, Mike Lang just walks in unannounced. He had a smoke in one hand and a drink in the other. Ashram just takes off his headset and makes Lyon get on the air for a few minutes. And you know, Ashram and Bork just sit there and drink Miller Lite and talk about hockey. That's the whole show. And if you haven't met Ashram, Ashram's a beauty. I mean, he's a total throwback. Bork always tells me that he's the one guy that would have fit in with the early 90s teams more than anyone. He always says, oh, man, I can't imagine him and Artie Stevens out on the road together. I'm like, oh, he's... Yeah, and Ashram's super approachable. They give away, like, Nemecol and Woodlands weekends and stuff. And, you know, there's always people involved with the Penguins there. And Mike Lang and Ashram there last night and Phil Bork. And sometimes the players drop by. You never know who might drop by. And I think number 87 is going to be his special guest next week, by the way.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he's going to be there in person or just on the phone. I would guess on the phone. But, yeah, so if you're free Monday night at 7, in all seriousness, stop by. It's a lot of fun.
Man, if I wasn't already going to, which I'm going to be in town next week, so I think I might do that for sure. Head down.
I know. I'll be there.
Oh,
we're hanging.
I'm totally addicted to the show now, so yeah, you can't get enough of it.
Well, great. Thanks again, Josh. It's a pleasure as always for you to come on and talk some puck. And congratulations for being number one today.
I got the quickest thumbs in all Western PA. What can I say? Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, take care.
See you, Josh.
Josh Yowie from Triple I Media. Always a fun guest, and I'm pretty pumped about Monday now. I definitely want to go down to the Aaron Ashram show and check that out. Just him talking about it. I just have this image in my head of like Mike Lang in the smoke-filled room talking to Aaron Ashton about hockey.
In a velvet jacket.
And, like, yeah, like, yeah. us being privy to that kind of environment. Like, hell yeah, I'm there.
It's cool because it's so unique. You know, you have Borky, who's, you know, used to being the color guy. He's actually hosting the show. And then, you know, it's much different when the players are interviewing each other. Like, I think the one show, Asham was interviewing Cookie, and, you know, that was just great. I mean, that's so much different when, you know, compared to the media interviewing a player instead of a teammate interviewing a player. So it's definitely unique and something that I wanted to see. I haven't been able to, but I mean, hopefully I'll be able to go this Monday.
If you're alive after this weekend.
Mm. What's this weekend?
The Nailer Invasion. We might get detained in Wheeling.
Wheeling jail.
We've got some trumpets. We got some mellophones.
Mellophones?
It's going to be sweet.
My God, mellophones. You know it's serious then. So, like,
okay. Bringing the half stack.
This is all going down Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Friday night.
My gosh.
Is there anything people need to know for that?
If you want to come out, check out thepensnation.com, and there's a bunch of info on there. And it's pretty cheap, too. Like, if you have a student ID, it's $8, and you can't get into a hockey game for, like, $8 anywhere else but Wheeling, it seems. So check that out if you have a student ID. If you don't, if you want to get tickets early, it's, like, $14. If you get them the day of, it's $15, which still isn't that bad. It's going to be a pretty raucous atmosphere. And
brass instruments are strongly encouraged by us, but not so much by the arena management.
Yeah, that's the truth. So, the guy that looks like Rafael Palmeiro comes after you. Just tell him that you're with the band, and you're going to be all right.
Yeah, that's the answer for anybody who tells you you can't do
Wheeling Nailers band.
The pet band.
So,
crazy.
The other thing, and, you know, I feel like we're just giving Wheeling all kinds of plugs right now, is Hattricks.
Yeah, baby.
Wheeling opening up on Thursday. It's like they planned this for number 87's return. I know I'm going to be there watching the game on Thursday night. Nick, have you figured out your plans?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Nick, I know. Andy, you said you might. And Depto, awesome. Depto said he's in, if you want him to be in. Mike Darnay won't be there because he'll be in Detroit rooting for the Red Wings.
I thought he was for the Flyers.
No, he's in Detroit.
We gave him the invite, but I don't know.
That's pretty lame.
We gave him the invite for Friday, too.
He's always welcome.
Better see him there.
Oh, man. Man, I gotta watch the way I sit when I do these shows, because I swear every limb of my body is numb right now. And if I try to move, I'm just going to fall in a big mess of a puddle of man on the floor. This show is going to injure me. Seriously.
It's all right. We could replace you. With the crickets.
They've returned.
The crickets have returned. I was watching, everybody was watching on NHL on NBC. Or the NBC Sports Network, anyway, the Rangers-Carolina game. And it dawned on me that Thursday night, Sidney Crosby was making his return in the darkest arena in the National Hockey League. Forget how dark all those cameras and perspectives and angles are out there.
Yeah, there's shadows all over that ice. And it's kind of interesting, you know. I don't think it really has anything to do with it, but pretty coincidental, right?
I think it says a lot about the bleak outlook of their fan base.
What do you think, Andy?
It's unique for sure. But I mean, I don't see it big deal at all when it comes to playing hockey. I mean, seriously.
I think it's a huge deal.
Oh. I don't know.
It could be worse. He could have played in Columbus.
Darkness.
He could have played in Columbus and they could have fired off that cannon.
These guys are used to it.
Smog and smoke.
Smoke and mirrors out there in Columbus. That's how they get people there.
I don't think anyone's buying the smoke and mirrors anymore. let's see. Josh, he always dead on about Boston falling apart. We saw a little bit of it last weekend with that game. But, you know, tonight it was a reverse situation because Marty Turco started, and he was bowled for Tim Thomas as Tampa Bay routes Boston 6-1. I mean, that team is just not at all what we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the season because the Stanley Cup favorites coming in, a lot of people thought. They were definitely defending champions, and now people are wondering whether they're going to be strong enough or whether they're too fragile to make it through the first round.
Yeah, in November and December, they looked pretty much unbeatable, and a lot of people wanted to hand these guys the cup. And not so much right now. Ever since that White House trip, and I didn't really buy too much into that, but man, have they been a mess since then.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh made them look pretty tiny the other night.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around. Usually Boston.
Totally the other way around.
Real physical team, and the Penguins just came out and killed them physically. I mean, there was no competition. Chara went down so many times.
Yeah, Chris Kunitz was all over Chara.
Kunitz is amazing. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but, man, he can really hit guys hard, and you're not going to Chara over.
Buzzsaw.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Another team that's streaking, but streaking with the reverse trend of that is the Washington Capitals. All of a sudden, they've won four straight hockey games, and tonight they were down 4-1 and rallied to beat New York Islanders. Not the greatest team, but still, you come back from three goals like that, that's a character win, winning in overtime, really in a shootout by the score of 5-4. And Alex Ovechkin with two goals in that game to really trigger the rally and get them going, put them the team on their back a little bit there. So a nice second half of the game for Ovechkin anyway. Almost as though, you know, he's answering on cue the fact that, you know, his supposed nemesis is reentering the lineup for Pittsburgh, and maybe it's time for him to get back on the top of his game.
It's interesting if that's the case. You know, like, for him to actually have some work ethic, he's got to have Crosby in the NHL. Yeah, that's coincided,
and,
though.
And that article, too, that was written about him, I wonder if that thing that if he had heard about that, or I don't know.
I wonder if it was John Steigerwald calling him out on PEDs. No, I don't know. That's pretty far-fetched.
Where the Penguins lie right now, though, where they sit, much more cemented in that playoff spot. I mean, 15 points up on the ninth seed, which is Buffalo. The picture's starting to blow open a lot more than it had been, even this time last week. And while 3 days ago, New York looked a lot, well, at least looked a lot more like it was possible for the Penguins to catch them. Now with the Rangers with 95 points and the Penguins with 89, Thursday's game doesn't seem quite as big as it. I mean, after Sunday, the Penguins are only 2 points behind the Rangers. It was a possibility that this game could be for a share of the Atlantic Division lead, but the Rangers have kind of answered the bell.
Yeah, it was a big possibility, but now it's looking like New York's kind of riding their ship a little bit. I think they definitely feel the heat from the Pens coming up on them, especially with 12 games. You know, you're 12 points behind, and all of a sudden you're down to two. That's the pressure's on now, and it'll be interesting to see how they react to that because they really haven't had a lot of pressure placed on them all year. I mean, a little bit with the 24/7 coverage, but it's like a different kind of pressure, you know. I mean, but with a team hounding them down right now this late in the season, it'll be interesting to see what they're made of.
Yeah, they had such a big cushion all year, and this is the first time that they've really actually had a legitimate threat of somebody overtaking them. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that, and we've seen certain teams respond to that in good ways and bad ways. So we'll see if they – it's definitely a good measuring stick for both teams, not only for the Penguins but for the Rangers too. Because if you look at – you know, they're playing the hottest team in the NHL right now with the Penguins, who've won 9 straight, and they're bringing back the best player in the world. So that's – definitely a big game for them as well, in addition to the Penguins, because they're going to be playing the team with the number one seed right now in the Eastern Conference. And if the Penguins can take over this division, you'd have to think they have a good chance of getting that number one seed.
And the other thing about Thursday night's game is that the Rangers have announced today that Henrik Lundqvist is out for a while anyway with the flu. Whether or not he plays on Thursday night, that will remain to be seen. But Marty Biron was behind the wheel of the ship tonight and brought them the win. So Marty Baron is a guy who has a history with Sidney Crosby, so that's another dynamic, another interesting story to look at for Thursday night. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks to Josh Yeo, our guests. For Andy Hughes, Nick Richter, this is Ken Will. You've been listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show.
To add to your mom.
What is...
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. Tell your mom hi.
Hi. Only me ever.
Hello.
What is... Before we wrap things up here, what is Jaws?
I don't know. I saw that on there earlier.
What is what?
Jaws.
Jaws?
Oh, yeah, that was me. I added that. It's the Jaws music. I used it yesterday.
Oh, we should have brought Yoey in with the Jaws music.
We should have. We need to have entrance music now for all the guests. It
would be amazing. Like, if Cy comes in, he's got, like, he's got the Hulk.
Now I'll have to play the Hulk Hogan music or something
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
Dude, that's almost better than crickets.
I played it yesterday.
Doritos Los Tacos.
Because the Penguins were they're getting close to the Rangers.
I love it. It's my favorite thing that's happened in a long time.
Jaws theme.
That's
amazing
the sad
what the Jaws
state
can do.
Sad state of my life right now.
Made some great stuff on this board.
Yeah, just knock it all.
You should listen to the whole thing. It's pretty good.
I just think the first clip is, it's kind of like the Law and Order clip where it's like, din, din.
Jum-dum.
We need that
it
one.
It gets faster as it goes on.
Was it just the theme?
Yeah, it'll keep going.
I mean, I've seen Jaws before, Andy.
I know.
Yeah, it's... I'm trying to get closer. Ah.
Weighing in at 450 pounds.
Oh, shit, that's a lot.
Not that smart.
That is not the London Philharmonic right there.
That's what it's going to sound like in Wheeling Friday night.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Like, let's search out. Let's go Wheeling Nailers.
Nah, this is Let's Go.
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. Andy, tell your mom hi.
Wheeling Nailers. Let's go Nailers. Go Nailers. Let's go Nailers. Let's go. Yeah, because what that one dude was always talks about how the Nailers chant is in 5/4.
Yeah.
Let's go Nailers. Let's go, man. See, they should just play Jaws. That's way better than anything that they could possibly chant. Jaws, trumpets, and Elvis dancing. I don't see how you can beat that.
Yes. None.
Yeah, we're getting an interview with Elvis again if he's there. Oh.
Yeah, if he's there. Yeah, he might be dead.
Better be there.
We're not even going to get in the gate.
No, probably not.
They're going to be looking for us to snap around. And they're just going to say, hey, you clown. Clowns need to go back to your cars.
Get back in your cage.
We have standards here in Wheeling, and you guys
no, we don't.
Fall far before you float. Yeah. We need to get Law and Order uploaded, and we need to get the sound effect from the end of Lost.
Yes.
And then the trombone spears from Lost.
Yeah. And we need to end with the bad robot theme.
Bad robot! Bad robot!
Where was that idea when we had the whole overtime dedicated to comparing Pens players to Lost characters?
Well, I think I tried to do it, but I couldn't. I mean, it wasn't very successful in that format. Especially now we're paying for
Lost. Yeah, now we have plenty. We also need that, like, that little beep kind of thing that Law & Order does. That little sound effect they have.
The sound effect?
Yeah. Yeah, the... Ba-da. but a better version. It's so dramatic.
It is.
We could have played the Cops theme when we started talking about Steve McIntyre tonight.
Jerry, Jerry.
So much you can do with that.
Yeah, there is.
You know, like, people get paid millions of dollars to design these sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
I love Williams got paid millions of dollars to write a minor second.
I love the fact that, like, with that sound clip, it's the whole thing, or you can just take that beginning part off of it. Because there's so much space there, you can't mess it up.
Yeah, even with Block Talk Radio, you can actually has enough time to cut it off.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It is.
You need more of that stuff on here.
I miss the old power play signs that they used to have, too, with the shark fin. Back in the
90s,
yeah.
They brought those back in the 08 and 09 cup runs.
Yeah, it just wasn't the same, though.
It wasn't. And nothing seems the same at Consol.
No.
Bastard of an arena. I hate it.
It's good stuff.
But if you're wondering, I am not the anonymous Penn fan who wrote a letter about it. That was not me. I didn't disagree with everything they had to say, but it wasn't me. But we'll be back on here tomorrow night. We'll find some things to talk about. Some sharks. Shark Week.
Oh my gosh, you're thinking the exact same thing I am.
Penn's Nation Radio Show Shark Week. Yeah, it's
sounds like
soon.
Didn't you compare the Yager Watch?
Yager Week Watch Shark Week. That's right.
Yeah.
We need a better ending
to the Shark Week.
I can't take my vacation during Shark Week anymore at the beach. That was, like, kind of the worst. You're swimming around in the ocean, and then all you can think about is, like, when you see fish swimming around you, is that sharks come in because of the fish, and you're just, like, flipping out. And all of a sudden, it's all blood in the water.
And it's a known fact that there's never been a shark attack without that sound.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you knew that.
Everybody knows. I could sing the right.
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. Andy, tell your.
Whoops. Why did he?
You do not interrupt Doc Emmerich.
Unless you're a shark.
Have we ever used.
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. You found the right place if you're a Penguins fan. The.
I was just about to ask if we've ever actually used the promo that he recorded.
Yeah, we did.
We've
opened with it a couple times.
Yeah, we should plug it in a little bit more.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it sounds a lot better than this.
God's name is that.
Ladies' night theme.
Oh, we're not using Deptodon anymore?
No.
Oh, you got rid of it?
Yeah. Well, when everything got wiped off the board a couple weeks ago, had to enter some new stuff in.
That's a better intro anyway.
What are you saying about the old one?
He did the old one, so.
I say I made the old one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's right.
There goes Ding Dong.
It's more appropriate now, though. We need to bring the Deptodon one back.
Well, I'll be putting together a new one for the playoffs this year, anyway.
Doo-doo.
We need to incorporate that, though. That wouldn't get us sued at all. Just playing this.
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. Andy,
what the heck's going on?
Just using those two notes from Jaws as many times as we have tonight have cost this show $14 million.
All right, we're good for it. Actually, what is the law like? Like the rule is what, five measures? We're good.
Well, no, it's if I'm writing music, I can't use more than four measures of another song in that. As far as us playing, I'm done talking about this.
No, like this is different.
Ken. It is different, but
Vanilla Ice sampled the song like for Ice Ice Baby. He's like, no, theirs is den 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 den. Mine is den 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 den.
No, it's the pickup.
It's the other way around. Yeah.
Ding 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 ding. Ding 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 ding. Verse. Ding 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 ding. Ding 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 ding. It's that one extra note.
And the actual Jaws theme is den den, and then ours is den den. It's different.
It is different.
In the end, it's a minor second. So if you're really going to find that, Mr. Williams, I have lost respect for you.
Mr. Williams. Jason Williams?
Dr. Williams. Yeah, Jason Williams could have wrote that theme. Not that I don't have respect. I mean, John Williams is an incredible film composer.
Oh, he is.
But let's be real. Not as the rest work. Kind of a cop out.
Yeah. It's like laying claim to the fact that you invented the Doritos Locos Taco.
Yeah. Somebody's copyrighted that now.
Doritos. Or Taco Bell, one of the two.
Well, they actually have the Doritos logo stamped right on there.
Yeah.
It's an unholy marriage.
No, it's quite a holy marriage. It's amazing.
You should throw over the Dorito
Taco. Blessed by Benedict.
Dorito Taco has been talked about a few shows in a row.
We're actually brought to you by Doritos.
Could be.
Actually, somebody tweeted at me today about, Come Wicked was asking about whether we were going to talk about Dorito Tacos or not.
I saw that earlier.
I guess we were true to our word. Or not true to the word? I don't know. I don't even remember what I answered with. But, all right. Well, thank you for downloading the Independent Nation podcast. It's a treat, as always, that you stayed with us for this long. And we will be back with you on Wednesday night, and then special ladies night on Thursday.
Special.
Doo-doo. Boucher.
Hi, this is Doc Emery. Andy, tell your mom hi.
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 I'm
going to get all of you guys to join me one of these times.
We just said
we just did.
That wasn't right.
How's it not right?